start with the outbound and take your destiny into your own hands, find the low-hanging fruit, create value by getting ops you wouldn't have had otherwise, build your political capital bank to fund further investment in the function.
Thank you for tuning in to part 3 of The Missing Link to More Revenue, Standing Up an SDR Department. In today's episode, Sean Doyle and Ed Rush discuss how to ensure your organization has all the right tools and alignment to maximize revenue generation. We hope you enjoy and are able to apply the concepts to your business. Let's dive in.
But if marketing did early stage stuff and it was talking about we help companies with their EBIT or their EBITDA, it wouldn't make any sense. I would not even understand what you do or where you do or how you fit in my organization. But that SDR, and let me go back, the expectation of most SVPs of sales and executive teams, well, Ed, those are the conversations my sales team should be having, right? They should be closing my late stage deals with that kind of content. And that points to the gap, right? So here's a great test. Find out if, like Ed, you just did, can your middle of the funnel, if there even is anybody there, can they answer those kinds of questions? Do they know to lead with those questions? So we use, again, in the science that we stand on, there's an incredible process called private commitment, public commitment. So SDRs are the perfect people to get a buyer to make a private commitment. You know, I will demonstrate for you, Ed, the different ways we can impact the EBIT. That might be a strategic and a financial, and it might be a personal pain, right? All three of those could fit based on who I'm talking to. Now, somebody else might be, if I'm talking to the, I don't even know your business well enough to know who this role would be, but if I'm talking to somebody who's more operationally minded, they may not be thinking about EBIT. They may not know what EBIT or EBITDA is, right? But if they know, you could have less real estate, because you don't need all the storage you need, or you can have guarantees of your stuff being at the plant floor on the right time or in the construction site at the right time or whatever the situation is, right? So you got to know your buyers. You got to know what they care about. And if you can help people make a private commitment to explore this, so what's a private commitment? A private commitment is me saying, Ed, you're the sales guy. I'm going to share with you a little of my problems. I'm not ready to tell anybody else in the executive team, I'm even having this question, this conversation with Ed. And because Ed, I don't trust him yet. So if Ed, if you can earn my trust, if you really show the difference, then I might be willing to risk my own equity in a public commitment by saying, hey, CEO or CFO, other buyer, other decision maker, come look at this with me. This sounds too good to be true. Is it? You know, help me evaluate this, right? So the SDR can really be a good helper. And they can help people make private commitments. And then when they become public commitments, that's when the whole decision-making set is there. That's when you want your people to close, your high-powered, trained killers in their closing deals, right? So I just think it's a great test to see if you're middle of the funnel, if you have them at all, do they even know how to talk through these things? So we're going on and on, but I hope this helps. So there are SDRs who deal with the inbound leads. There are SDRs who deal with outbound. They're working on those key accounts and very targeted, specific work. One thing that I've recently learned is if you have, well, let's say I've got an SDR, maybe I've got one, I'm a smaller company, or maybe I've got two or three, and their job is to handle the leads as they come in and do some outbound calls as they can and tweak the data and try to get the list to grow and maybe massage that. I know you know the answer to this. What gets dropped? What's the first thing that gets dropped?
The outbound calling.
Yep. Well, we just said we can't hit revenue because inbound can only hit 50% of the leads we need. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you've just locked in by not having dedicated outbound people with no other responsibilities. Somebody's got to wake up in the morning knowing they're going to make calls, and that's their job. Nothing else.
So one of the profound things about here, you know, Blue Ridge being able to essentially hit new records from a lead velocity perspective, they're 3x per quarter greater than what they were in the previous 2 years. And then step one was, yes, we have SDRs. We have an inbound team. We have an outbound team. The outbound team is not distracted by the inbound team. The skills on the inbound team are A. The skills on the outbound team are B. And you know, coming into this, that you're going to create your own success hunting and pursuing and provoking, creating curiosity and making connections to a very specific set of accounts and people and roles using a very specific set of verbiage, positioning statements around being tuned in or locked in to that prospective buyer's pain point. So we talked about several, Sean, you mentioned various KPIs that people are measured on. By breaking the main vertical into sub-verticals, you start to realize there's different jargon used in different sub-verticals. One sub-vertical's main KPI might be service levels and being able to fill an X percentage of orders without being out of stock. In a different sub-vertical, it might really be more about a profit margin. In another sub-vertical, their main KPI is about inventory turns. And so it's not about any one of those three things specifically, but what it is about is make sure you understand what the one or two key KPIs are for those specific audiences when you break down the verticals into sub-segments. And the reason why that's important, because oftentimes when you're dealing with senior people or the C-suite, how is their variable compensation tied?
Perfect. Yeah, great question. It's got to be a KPI of some sort that's got to be very
definable. And it's likely
definable.
One of those two, and mm-hmm. being able to signal that you understand what they are already is a win by understanding that audience. And then if you put the question out there and they say, you know, that's not important to us, it's like, okay, we found many of your peers. That is a key KPI. You're a bit different. You've made me curious when it comes to your sort of variable or upside from a compensation perspective. How is your success measured? And then you train your people to quickly understand and being able to respond to those types of things. And then they can take that information and continue to create the case as to why here in the next 30 days, a 30-minute conversation with one of your experts is well worth their time.
Perfect. So I think that's an interesting conversation too of, you know, are you going to, is a conversation a valuable metric?
Mm-hmm.
Is it? I don't know. I'm going to argue. I don't think a conversation is valuable unless you're going to defend yourself now.
No, I'll tell you, before you give me the answer, on my SDR team, there is a metric around conversation, but that conversation has to achieve two qualifying pieces of information for it to be a meaningful conversation.
Great. So it could be qualifying or disqualifying. That's the only adjustment I'd make.
Yep.
So, yeah. So, I mean, I'll pay somebody all day long if they can remove somebody from my database, right?
Because mm-hmm.
there's cost to that. Not just the cost to your SaaS database guy, but there's cost to maintaining it, to mailing, to emailing, to writing content,
mm-hmm.
you know, maintenance, all of it. So, yeah, get the people off the list. And that's a valuable thing. So, anything you learn, I think that I was taught as a young sales guy that the goal was to have a conversation. That's the most meaning. That's just as meaningless, Ed, as we started out saying a meeting is a goal. No, a meeting is not a goal. You could meeting. In fact, I get calls. Opinion. Quick stump the chump question. I get at least 3, 4, 5 a week offers to outsource my sales development rep team. Good idea, bad idea?
Somewhere in between. So I have learned here in particular because I was afforded the opportunity to apply the AND strategy. And so part of Blue Ridge's success is not only standing up the internal SDR team, but historically, which is unlike where I've been previously, historically, the willingness and having some experience with doing third-party work as well has proven to be helpful to some extent. And so in my reality today, it's an AND strategy. What you're doing with your outbound SDR team is not equivalent to having a third party doing the exact same type of stuff. So we can get into the weeds on this and I'll avoid it. But yes, you can benefit from third party work supporting your outbound SDRs. You have to be very intentional and very specific in understanding where those pursuits can be fruitful. And then also being able to mitigate the risk of using a third party by being very selective in where you deploy those types of strategies.
Okay, so I'm going to be the chump here. What if you're off the cuff, we're sitting at lunch, having a cup of coffee, where's the right fit to deploy a third party SDR? Again, we're obviously talking in broad generalizations, but what's the off the cuff answer?
Well, one area, and there's multiple dimensions, but one where I like to use the third party is around adjacents or testing point of views on entrance into new areas where you don't necessarily know for sure whether you can win or not. And that's where just having the conversation now has more value than it would otherwise. And then your point of view might be wrong, but without having the at-bats in the market with prospective buyers around those adjacents, you can never prove your theory to be correct or not. And then quite frankly, if you take a couple people off there, it's not the core audience of your business by using a third party.
I love the adjacents comment. And you software tech guys have a phrase for that. Something door. Standing up a door. I don't know.
I don't use that one.
I got stumped the other day in a meeting. Somebody called it a door strategy, a green door strategy or something. Basically, the idea of make the calls. If people are interested, hey, we can't sell it to you right now, but thanks for, you test the market. I think that's good.
And you actually touched on one other aspect where a third party where I've used it before. I've had success in positioning engagements with prospective buyers, approaching it like more of a focus group or a research effort than maybe more overtly we're trying to get a sales engagement going. There you can actually have the third party represent themselves as the third party. There's cadences and good verbiage to use that can create engagement around offering your expertise in this area that's emerging and that we're looking to make investments in. And some smart people like you out there in the marketplace can give us some really valuable insights related to whether this is solving a meaningful problem for your industry or not. People are willing to have those types of conversations that they might not otherwise have with a more overt response to a marketing cadence in an outbound SBR. So there's ways to use them. Just got to be smart about it. Events. Yeah. What about events?
Oh, just would you use an outsourced SDR? Hey, this thing's happening. It's in the space. You should know about it.
Yeah, it's a great area, low risk, simple, get a lot of bodies on it to scale. I don't want to pay SDRs who have variable comp on creating pipeline and have bonuses on deals that close, et cetera, spending their time doing that. But there's tremendous value in getting people to events. So absolutely.
As data compliance laws become more stringent, many organizations will soon have non-compliant CRM data. Maybe you have insufficient first-party data, or you bought information from an improperly validated third party. However, you got it. Fixing it before the 2023 deadline should be a top priority. Fitzmartin's Wake the Dead program takes dead CRM prospects and applies a behavioral science model to re-engage them into your pipeline. In this process, you can reclaim old prospects or delete old ones, giving you a clean and compliant database with new opportunities from previously forgotten contacts. By retargeting with email and text automation, clients you might have considered dead or unresponsive will move forward and become potential prospects once again. For more information, check out the show notes or visit fitzmartin.com.
Okay, so we've got to wrap this up. I'm going to throw out a couple broad statements, or not broad statements, a couple practical statements. Base versus variable comp, saying like 60-40, 70-30, somewhere in that range. Is that a reasonable?
Yeah, I think it depends on the industry and expectations. The SDR role is hot right now. Mm-hmm. There's lots of competition for it. If you just go to several job boards and generally put that role in, you'll see tons of people hiring for it. And so you'll see different tiers depending on the industry space. But at generic sort of macro levels, the splits you just talked about are appropriate.
What should an SDR, how many quality conversations defined as one piece of qualifying or disqualifying? How many quality conversations can a good SDR have in a week? Help me set a standard. And yes, it's going to vary. I get it. But broadly speaking, maybe a range.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, I'm looking for that to happen at least two times a day in my universe. And I think that's a bit of a layup, but is very attainable. So over the course of the week, you would hope that 10 would be a bare minimum and expectations around more.
That's great. And I'm seeing probably a 1 to 16, 16 dials to get one conversation. That number wildly varies. You could probably do an internet search and get a
I wish I got 1 to 16. Ours is worse. So,
and, well,
especially now, with mobile phones and hybrid work areas.
Yeah. And you are the guy that invented that robo dial thing that's hitting all of our cell phones.
No, not I'd... me.
The good news is, Ed, that the warranty on your car is not expired, and I can help you today. So, this has been helpful. We've touched on KPIs through the whole way, talked briefly about comp design, the roles. You know, so practical tip in your final words. You're talking to the executive that says, all right, I've got to rethink this SDR thing. Maybe I've got to start it from scratch. Do I start it with inbound, outbound? Do I do two people at once? We've talked about the benefits. What are the first steps if you're standing this up from scratch?
Yes, no decision is, well, I shouldn't say no decision. Very few decisions are permanent decisions. And understand it's iterative. And there's ideal and there's zero. And someplace that you are on that spectrum. So be willing to create metrics and expectations and goals and behaviors that you're looking for that are based on where you're at today and what does success look like 90 days or 6 months out from that period max. Make the progress to get there. And then at 90 days or 6 months down the line, adjust expectations, KPIs accordingly as the team matures, the capabilities mature, as the velocity speeds, as the numbers go up, and as the quality goes up. And so on the very front end of this at Blue Ridge, I over-incented just getting the right behaviors, the right activities, meeting base activity numbers, how many calls, how many touch points, this and that. If I'm having that conversation today with an SDR that's been in seat for 6 months, it's because they're likely not going to survive and we're moving them out of the organization. So the conversations we're having today across the SDR team are very different than they were day one. And they were different 3 months ago and 6 months ago as compared to where they are day one. So one of the traps that I've seen way too many people fall into trying to close this gap in the middle of the funnel, get sales and marketing alignment, is an outsized voice, especially on the sales side, looking for a level of perfection, quality, ideal, 100% close rates on these things, that if you do and listen to that voice and outsize it, especially on the front end of this thing, it's going to fail. It's going to fail miserably. And so work really tightly with expectations, understanding collectively across the team that it's iterative and a journey. And these are the types of things we're going to do now, the types of things we're going to do next. And ultimately getting to that situation where we got more coverage than we need. Our close rates are phenomenal. We don't even question the value of your leads today. You're not going to get there overnight. And if you try to engineer everything to that goal day one, you're going to fail.
Great counsel. Ed, if you were standing an organization up for the first time and you asked me, I would tell you, and I would say there's kind of three roles. If you're saying, I want to bring in a marketing person, I want to bring in an SDR. Then, of course, they know now after listening to you, an SDR inbound, an SDR outbound. I'm always going to tell people, and they're always surprised because they think of me as a marketing guy, I'm always going to tell people to set up your outbound SDR first. And the maxim there is if nothing gets sold, nothing else really matters. Unless something gets sold, just who cares? So I think outbound SDRs, and who should these SDRs report to, Ed? I forgot to ask you that earlier. This seems like an outbound SDR should report to sales, shouldn't it? SVP of sales?
Not necessarily. What I would say is I agree with you, though. Start with the outbound and take your destiny into your own hands. Find the low-hanging fruit. Create value by getting ops you wouldn't have had otherwise. Build your political capital bank to fund further investment in the function. Yeah. Yep. There you
go. And support inbound. And the other rationale to that is inbound and inbound SDRs, it's going to take, if you have a lead cycle of 18 months, no executive wants to wait 18 months to see if it works or not, mm-hmm. right? But the outbound SDR is much, much more rapidly measurable. And, well, and look, to the point
back,
of
it. No, it goes back to that console I said earlier, is engineering to the perfect. And then that often derails. Well, I need this system. I need these 10 things. I need my inbound, my outbound team. I need some team leader, et cetera, et cetera. You spend all that time doing that and you haven't learned the applicability of any of those aspects in your industry or in your business.
Brilliant. That's great.
So start with the outbound, get the traction. That's where I've always started. I created the inbound team when the outbound team got too distracted by too many inbounds.
Perfect. Yeah, that makes sense with what we've been talking about. And any team.
Where should it live? In sales and marketing. I don't really care where it lives. It's lived in marketing in my universe. It's typically just by happenstance been either I came into the organization and that's where it was, or the organization didn't have it and I was the guy standing it up and the person in sales wasn't necessarily thinking or desiring to do that. Is sort of traditional direct sales management leadership.
I want to take a stronger position. I think it should be in marketing because an SVP of sales is going to look at what an outbound sales rep does and undervalue the work because it's too early. Now, that's underestimating an SVP's ability. And
I would agree with you in that in sales, the bias is the number in the month or in the quarter, and the lens of the work is what can you do to get me to the next 90 days number and survival point. And then they're not thinking a year down the line, 9 months down the line. So a continuous improvement around this velocity, et cetera. And then quite frankly, what I found too is in poor situations, the distraction isn't I'd rather do the inbound than the outbound is I've got this administrative level in now within the sales domain and I've got them busy doing PowerPoints for a pitch that my sales guy's doing. I got them reviewing proposals, looking at contracts. So they're doing everything but what they're supposed to be there for. But I still say benefit of the doubt at a macro level, it should be within sales or marketing based on which function and the leader within that function understands it the most and can set it up for success, like we've been talking about today.
And the job description has to include about an hour of coaching a week for each person. Nobody ever talks about that. So
more than that.
Yeah, it's just you got to have that dedicated coach. So, Ed, we've talked about a lot too much. This was the longest 20-minute episode I've ever heard in my life. You've added a lot of value to me. You know, Aligned is for executives of emerging middle market companies who are trying to grow in ways, push through barriers they haven't been able to push through. And I think this is a critical component of that. Thank you for opening your head and letting us look around and get some ideas that are practical and applicable and profitable.
We hope you enjoy today's episode. If you missed the other two parts, please go back and listen to them. In the meantime, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast, Aligned. You can learn the latest information about alignment, sales, and marketing. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or our website, fitzmartin.com. See you next time.